The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
We're going to be continuing in our series called Creed this morning. And really in this series, if you're joining us for the first time today and you've missed out on what's come before, is we're not really preaching the creed. But whether we're seeking to preach the scripture, the biblical truths that are behind the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is one of the earliest formations outside of the Bible of those core essential beliefs that Christians through the ages, regardless of their location, regardless of their place and time, have affirmed that these are those basic beliefs that can give life to us. That can give us new birth, that give us hope. These are those beliefs that we're willing to give our very lives for. So today we're going to continue in that. We've looked at some basic parts of starting with Pastor Matt's message on we believe, and then in we believe God the Father, last week God the Son, and now we're going to be looking at God the Holy Spirit. Let's say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we humbly come to you today to open your word, we acknowledge that there are no human words or human ability that can bring new life to an individual who is lost. We recognize that there's no power that we have apart from you, and that it is your Holy Spirit who brings about salvation, new life, hope, who cleanses and transforms us to become like Christ, and who faithfully leads us. Salvation from start to finish is all your work. So we would just ask that even as we speak of you and as we look at your word, help us not to do so in a way that fails to acknowledge that you, oh God, are here this morning. That the very one we speak of is living, that the very one that we worship is present today in this space. So whatever it is that we need, we can receive from you. We'd ask that you'd make us aware during this time of our need, and Father, you would give us the grace to receive from you the very grace that each and every one of us need. For it's in the name of Christ, who is both our Savior and our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, there's a lot of fascination. There's a lot of interest in the supernatural today. Several different recent movies, things have been about the supernatural. I know one of a popular Netflix series, Stranger Things, there's such an excitement and an interest in the unknown of the supernatural. Movies are constantly coming out in this particular area. And because of that superstition and a lot of interest in the supernatural, I think it's brought about some misinformation about the Holy Spirit. And today I want to start by asking ourselves this question: who is the Holy Spirit? At the very center of the creed, we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I think it's important for us to know who we are believing in. First of all, the Bible does not present the Holy Spirit as an it or as a thing, as a mystical force or an experience that we are to have emotionally. The Bible, Holy Scripture, along with the church through the centuries has taught that the Holy Spirit is God. Along with God the Father and God the Son, the Holy Spirit is to be worshiped as God. Now, there's a lot we don't understand about the Trinity, but we receive by faith the teachings of Scripture, and also we stand on the tradition of what men and women have taught through the ages, since the very beginning of the church. That core teaching has been that there's one God. There's not three gods. Scripture affirms this over and over again, that God is one, but yet the one true God exists in Trinity, in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, co-equal, all God together as one being. And it's because of this Scripture refers to God as love, because at the very essence of who God is interpersonal, loving, sacrificing relationships, that the one true God is a God of holy love. And he does not need us to be love, because he in his very essence is love. So we worship God the Father, we worship God the Son, and we worship God the Holy Spirit. Scripture also teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And this is significant because the very Spirit that empowered Jesus in his earthly ministry, Jesus, who was fully God yet fully human, relied upon the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit who empowered Christ for ministry, enabled him to do the will of the Father, to suffer and to die and to purchase our redemption as a sinless sacrifice to pay for all of our sins. That same Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And that same Holy Spirit fills us, you and me, sinners who come to Christ, placing our trust in him. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus, we receive when we believe in when we trust in Jesus Christ. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He is God, to be worshiped along with the Father and the Son. Now you might ask and say, okay, well, that's good doctrine or teaching, but what difference? What difference does it make to my life to know God, the Holy Spirit? And I want to share with you this morning four blessings that we receive from knowing God, the Holy Spirit. And my hope and prayer is, just as we sang in that song earlier, make us aware of your presence. That God, the Holy Spirit, would make us aware of the wonderful blessing we receive the moment we believe, of knowing God within, of knowing Christ in the Father within. The first blessing is this: the Holy Spirit gives God's prevenient grace to everyone. There's not a person that God does not want to bring into a relationship with himself. So he gives, and prevenient just means the grace that comes before. So the grace that we need to be able to choose to follow Jesus, God gives us through the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you John 16:5-11. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples prior to his death, preparing them for life after he bodily is no longer on the earth. And here's what he says: "But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I do, or that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes," referring to the Holy Spirit, "he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged." The Holy Spirit gives us God's prevenient grace by convicting us of our sins. Not just of the sins that we've committed, the wrong that we've done, rebelling against God, the hurt that we've done to one another in life, other relationships that we have, but also the fact that it's not just true that we've committed sin, we are sinful. We are lost. Something is terribly wrong. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we see that in society. We live in a very broken, fallen world. Something's gone wrong. And part of the role of the Holy Spirit in giving us God's prevenient grace to all people is to make us aware of that. That we, one, have sinned, each and every one of us, Scripture says. But secondly, that there's a problem with our hearts. Rather than loving each other, we love self. So not only have all of us sinned, we all are also sinful. And God in his grace through the Holy Spirit gives us this prevenient grace that makes it possible for us to become aware of that. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that we are dead. We were dead and lost in our sins. And when he's saying that, he wants us to get that metaphor that it's not just that we were somewhat damaged by sin, but able to still maybe do good and choose God. No, Paul is saying that we were completely dead, lost, no life, no pulse, spiritually speaking, unable to save ourselves. We were doers of evil, but God, who is rich in mercy, has sent his Son to save us. And the very fact that you and I would come to a moment, it's both the worst moment of our lives and the best moment of our lives, when we come to a moment that we know that we are lost and we are sinful. When we come to that moment, it's the worst moment because we feel the condemnation of our sin. We feel the guilt. We see the hurt that we've caused. We see how messed up our heart is. But it's also the most wonderful moment because, hear me, church, when the Holy Spirit convicts, it is not to condemn. Scripture says that there's another person who does that, Satan. He's the accuser. He's the liar. He's the one who condemns us in our sins. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Why? Because of God's love. Because he wants to save us. And that leads to the second blessing. The first blessing is he gives us prevenient grace. The second blessing is this, that the Holy Spirit regenerates those who believe. And I didn't want to use the word regenerate because it kind of sounded like a churchy word to me. But I believe it really captures what the Holy Spirit does. He causes those who believe in Christ to be born again. He does not convict us to condemn us. He convicts us because he wants to make us new again. I think this is captured so well in Paul in Titus 3, verse 3 through 7. So hear the word of the Lord. And this is true of all of us. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled, and we became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away your sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of his grace, he has made us right in his sight, and he gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. God, through the Holy Spirit, gives us that prevenient grace, convicting us of our sins, making us aware of our need, not to accuse us, not to condemn us, but to give us life, to regenerate us, to cause us to be born again, to free us from the condemnation. 2 Corinthians 5 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Jesus, all who trust in Jesus, belong to Jesus, becomes a new person. The old life is gone. and the new life has begun. Paul also says this, Romans 8, and I just think it's so important to stress this, because when we often feel the weight of our own sins, we feel as though God wants to condemn us and accuse us, and we interpret that as the Holy Spirit. But hear this, church, Romans 8, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. He gives us prevenient grace. He blesses us by all who believe and trust in Christ. He causes us to be born again. And then third, he empowers us. God, the Holy Spirit, empowers us. He empowers us by teaching us the way of Christ. He doesn't leave us alone to work out things or to guess. Rather, he brings to our very memory the words of Jesus that we have in Scripture. He guides us in the ways of Christ. John 14, 26 says, but when the Father sends the Advocate is my representative. This is Jesus saying that when the Father sends the Advocate, the Holy Spirit who will represent me, he will teach you everything. And he will remind you of everything I told you. See, there's a little bit of a problem for the disciples. They've been with Jesus bodily for 3 years. And then after his death and resurrection, he ascends bodily into heaven. And as we just looked at the creed last week, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. So does that then leave the disciples and us today alone until he returns? Jesus wanted us to understand that he is not leaving us alone. That when we know the Holy Spirit and all who belong to Christ by faith have the Holy Spirit, he will guide us. And what joy, what comfort is that? Because there are so many times in life that we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. And as we get to know God through the Holy Spirit and rely on him, he is for us, he loves us, and he leads us in the very ways of Christ. The Holy Spirit empowers us by transforming us to actually be like Jesus. None of us could become like Jesus on our own. Rather, God, the Holy Spirit in us who believe, changes us so that we would actually become a new person. And that means that our attitude would change, often not as quickly as we like. That our very actions, the things we do, our priorities would become less like the old person before Jesus and more like Jesus. Galatians chapter 5 really portrays this pretty powerfully. It says the Holy Spirit produces this. I just love that phrase. The Holy Spirit does this. So if you believe in Christ, if you're walking in a relationship with God by Christ through faith, the Holy Spirit in you is going to do this. It's not maybe. He's going to produce these very things in you. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Let us humbly walk in the Spirit. He transforms us to become like Christ, and then he empowers us by enabling us to be his witnesses. Acts 1:8, Jesus says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have the ability and the strength you and I need, not just the disciples then, but the church today, to effectively witness, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, that gives great hope. It gives great hope because I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like a failure when you're trying to share what God has done in your heart with other people? Have you ever felt like you can't find words or you lack the ability to adequately share and witness to what Jesus has done for you, who he is and what he's promised to do? I, as a pastor, have felt that. I feel that many Sunday mornings, but then God reminds me through his Holy Spirit that it's not me who has the power or the ability. It's not you. It's not a personality. It's the Holy Spirit of God in us that enables us to witness to the fact of what God has done through Jesus, that there is salvation for all, that there is hope, that there is new life for all who would believe in Christ. The fourth blessing is this, and that is that the Holy Spirit comforts us. And I love this. I chose this for last as I prepared this just because I think it's so powerful. Not only does he give us the grace we need that makes it possible for us to be saved, not only does he regenerate those who trust in Christ and empower us, he comforts us. He comforts us in this life that there are difficulties, in this life that there's questions that we don't have the answer for, in this life when we as human beings, although we have Christ in us who believe, we still suffer, we still die. He comforts us. He comforts us by filling our hearts with the presence of Christ, the risen Savior. We know Christ and we experience Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in us. I'm going to invite you to look at Romans 8 with me, Romans 8, 9 through 11. Paul says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. I'm going to pause there. Paul's saying is that if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. If you've turned from your sins and turned to God and responded to his prevenient grace by trusting in him, turning away from your sins, turning to him, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Now listen to what he says. Because you have the Holy Spirit, verse 10, Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. He fills our hearts with the very presence of Jesus. And notice that the presence of Jesus comes to us in the midst of our bodies that are aging and that are falling, and as he says, are passing away because of the fact we live in a sinful, fallen world. Earlier this week, I took a day off and I went out with my dad on the 91-acre farm. And I have a lot of memories there. I've lived on a farm by Danvers since I was 2 years old. And it was really a hobby farm. And I have so many good memories. There are good memories now, and it's important for any teens here to hear this because I think you could identify with me. There are memories that when I was a teenager, I hated. So for example, spring break, my dad had this great idea that on spring break, he would have my sister and I help him clear trees out of a fence line. So I was so excited, spring break, all my friends were going to Florida. They were having fun and my dad was having us cut down trees and make brush piles. And that was the entire spring break. And so I look back on that and now it's a fond memory. But I always remember being a kid, I couldn't keep up with my dad. He was bigger, he was stronger, he was faster, and I would complain that my feet were hurting. And it was interesting, earlier this week, I was out with my dad, and I'm going to say this at the risk of embarrassing him, but we were in the woods, and we were clearing some woods, and my dad can't keep up with me. And in those moments, I found my dad saying, and if you know my dad well, he says things like this often, man, it really stinks getting old. I used to be able to be right there with you. I'm sorry, I'm just worthless out here. And yet he's still working alongside of me, but it's kind of shifted. And I remember in that moment, I just remarked to my dad, and I said, well, the strength I have now, it's not going to last forever. One day I'll be out here with my three boys. And church, I hope you hear what Paul's saying here. The reality is we suffer, we grow old, our bodies wear out. But yet, deep within us, if you have the Holy Spirit of God, you have the Lord Jesus himself in you. And although your body feels the aches and pains of aging, and although we all experience this, we have this deep, deep hope in us. That the Spirit who gives life is in us. And when we die, not if, because we all will, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will raise us from the dead. So do you know the Holy Spirit? Even now, in the middle of aches and pains, in the middle of your great moments, in the middle of suffering, the Lord Jesus is with you. He is in you who believes. Paul goes on and says the Holy Spirit not only comforts us by bringing the presence of Christ, he also affirms in our hearts that we are God's loved children. Romans 8:15 says this, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. God affirms in our hearts through the Holy Spirit by faith that we are God's children, that we are his deeply loved children. He also comforts us by sharing in our suffering. Verse 18, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Scripture does not explain away suffering. It does not teach us that if we commit to follow Christ that we'll be removed from all pain and difficulty. Rather, Scripture teaches us that God is with us in our suffering, that we are never alone, and that we have the Holy Spirit in us even while we groan. I don't know if you can resonate with that. You ever been in so much pain you just groan? Whatever kind of pain that is. For me this past week, I had a tooth surgery, and I'm not going to belabor that point, but I can do all sorts of pain. But I'm a complete wimp when it comes to a tooth hurting. And literally, I can identify with this because there were moments this week that I was just groaning in pain. And my wife would come to try to encourage me or say something. But she didn't really encourage me because it just kind of frustrated me more that she was trying to help me. I don't know why. I was a bad husband in those moments. We've been there, but just the pain of groaning, of hurting. And it kind of brings us to moments when we think in our lives that we can't quite express with words what's going on inside of us. And the reality is a tooth pain is minor compared to the emotional pain that we often experience in this life, the battles that we face relationally, the grief that we endure through loss. All those things are very real. Scripture says here that even as we groan, longing for the day when God's going to make this mess right, the Holy Spirit is in us. He is with us. And he comforts us by praying for us when we do not know how to pray. Verse 26 says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed with words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. The Holy Spirit is with us in our weakness. He prays for us. He groans, Scripture says. He understands our pain, and he's with us. The last way that God, the Holy Spirit, comforts us, and I'm going to close with this, is he completely secures us in God's love. This chapter 8, I know I'm reading a lot of scripture this morning, but this is one of the most powerful scriptures on the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I just want you to hear what Paul has to say here. He begins with a question as he wraps up chapter 8. He says, what shall we say about such wonderful things? What can we say? God is with us. The Holy Spirit gives us the grace we need to be saved. He regenerates us who believe in Christ. He makes us new. He causes us to be born again. He empowers us. He comforts us. When we can't pray, he prays. He's present in our sufferings. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. Paul says, what can we say about such wonderful things? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is it that you need today? If you need grace to be saved, God gives us that through the Holy Spirit. If you need a new beginning because you know that you're lost, you know that the sins that you've committed have not only harmed others, they've harmed you, and you need freedom and forgiveness for those sins. If you're feeling the weight of that guilt and you need a release from that, God gives us the Holy Spirit. To all who will believe in Christ, there is freedom. He makes everyone new who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Do you need power? Do you need power in discerning God's will for your life right now? Of knowing what is the way of Christ look like in your family right now? And decisions you need to make? Do you need guidance? Do you need strength? Do you feel ineffective in ministry? God empowers us through the Holy Spirit. Are you frustrated because you've placed your trust in Christ, but you still see parts of your life that aren't like Jesus? He gives power and grace to produce in us the very fruit of the Spirit, to make us become like Jesus. And finally, do you need comfort today? Do you have this hope in your heart, but yet you're full of grief? You're full of anxiety and fear because of the realities of living in this fallen world. Maybe it's physical pain that you're facing that's overwhelming. Could be a relationship that is beyond your control that is weighing heavy on your heart. Whatever comfort you need today, God gives us the comfort we need through the Holy Spirit in us. So if you don't know God this way, or if you needed the reminder from his word, whatever we need, salvation, life from start to finish, is only by God's grace through the Holy Spirit. So we're going to close in prayer, and let's bow our heads, close our eyes as the worship team comes. Father in heaven, we know that just a few moments we're going to head out of here and get back to whatever is on our list that needs to be done today. Tomorrow we'll be going back to school, back to our jobs. And we just want to pause for a moment. We want to acknowledge that, God, not only are you Father, not only are you God the Son, you are also God the Holy Spirit. And we want to give thanks that apart from the Holy Spirit, we would never know you. We would never be able to do anything good for you. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we would never be able to endure the suffering and difficulties we face in this life. So, Father, would you make us aware of your presence today? Would you remind us of your greatness, of who you are? And Father, if there's anyone here today who maybe they know about you, but they don't really know you personally, Father, we pray that the message shared from your word this morning, Father, that through your Spirit you would make them aware, just as you do all of us, that apart from you, not only have we committed sin, we are also sinful. So would you convict us of our sin? And as you do that, Father, would you point us to the source of righteousness, which is Jesus Christ? So by faith, Lord, in that moment that Satan wishes to accuse us or condemn us in our sins, remind us that you convict us so that you might forgive us and you might make us new, give us new life. So Father, I pray by faith for those here this morning who may not know in this very moment Lord, would they respond to your grace by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? And your word says that if we believe in you, we have eternal life, that there is no condemnation to those who belong to you. And then, Father, for those who need power today, whatever area of their life, Lord, whatever challenge seems bigger than their abilities, remind them that you never intended it to be our abilities. Rather, we are powerless without you. Would you give those who need empowerment for ministry, Lord, for discerning your will, may they receive that from you. And Father, we know that there are those here today who need comfort. There are those, just to use that your very words, that are groaning in pain. Lord, who have questions, who have fear. Lord, who are carrying heavy, heavy burdens today. Remind them this very moment that God the Holy Spirit lives in us who believe. And that because we have the Holy Spirit, we have the risen Christ in us. And when others don't know what to say, or when we don't even know how to pray to you because of the weight of the pain we feel, God the Holy Spirit is praying for us. So Father, would you fill those hearts that need your comfort today, Lord, with the very presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, may you make all of us to become like you, to become like your Son, Jesus. We give you thanks. And now as we sing, Father, we pray, Lord, that the worship and the voices as we sing together would be a reminder that we're not alone. You are with us. And Father, that as we follow you together. So let us strengthen one another. We pray these things in your name. Amen.